to the Huntley Baptist Church podcast. We hope that this message can be an encouragement to you today. Please feel free to contact us at huntleybaptist@extra.co.nz or visit us at huntleybaptist.com.
Morena. If you're weighing up whether to bring your kids in or out, I'm used to having four kids ruin all of my trains of thought, so leave them in. Hey, privileged to be sharing this morning. About 9 days ago, we took a truckload with our tip truck, a big load of steel, into the scrapyard and got rid of a whole heap of, We got rid of a whole heap of steel, half-built projects from the 1970s by Dad that just had to go and, create their real value, which was scrap. And anyway, we took that in, and then we were coming back from the scrapyard, and Lockie was with me. He's got a broken leg. And he said, Dad, I need to go to the toilet. I'm going, okay, where can I get a big truck to park on Te Rapa Strait for a toilet? And then I saw Burger King. I was like, okay. So we pulled into Burger King and we rushed on into the toilet. And then we thought, well, while we're here, we really better have a burger and make a real truck trip of it. So we bought some BK chickens. And you know how the BK chickens have got the break in half bit? Yes, we bought two of those. So we had, I didn't share my half. Anyway, so Lockie and I are sitting there having our burgers, and there's these two young fellas, school holidays, sort of lurking around the door, lurking around the car park. And I was just keeping my eye on them, thinking if they're going to break into a car or something. And anyway, one came in, and there was only three staff in BK, and they were all very short ladies who couldn't have taken on these teenagers if they'd tried. And these two boys came in, and they're sort of lurking around. And then one dived around in front of the counter while they were in the kitchen cooking area and grabbed a couple of big cups and ran out around the side, stealing the cups so they could go to the drink machine. And anyway, he's mid, and this lady comes around and she's sort of gently trying to speak this teenager out of it. Anyway, me and Lockie were the only ones in the BK restaurant, and I stood up, I was in my work clothes, and I had about 2 inches underneath my boots, and I pulled my shoulders back and went, oi! Like this, and it was like, oh. And these two boys turned around from the drink machine, and I said, put them back, do the right thing. So they put their cups down and walked towards the door. Meanwhile, Lockie's like, it was at that moment, he's like, my dad's the man. Anyway, these boys are walking to the door, and this one smarky boy goes, doing the right thing would have been keeping your mouth shut. To me. And I gave him these eyebrows, and I said, you always do the right thing. And they walked out the door. Second story is we have a few staff on the farm, and we had a guy last year. So he was on a casual agreement where he was driving in and driving out. He didn't have a staff house yet. And so he would have lunch in our lunchroom. And so there's the earthworks guys and dads there. And these guys, the staff report to me, but there's a bit of an unwritten rule that if the farm owner, if Murray gets you to do something, you just sort of, that supersedes what Aaron said, okay? There's the main man, and then there's the man, okay? And anyway, this guy was constantly having lunch in our lunchroom, but not really doing his own dishes. And Dad said to him, hey, if you can do your own dishes, that'd be a big help. If you can do the dishes, that'd be a great help. Anyway, next lunch break, Dad noticed that he'd just done his own dishes and hadn't done anyone else's. And then Dad asked, could you please do the dishes? And the next day, Dad reported back to me that he won't listen to me, he only wants to listen to you. And he hasn't done all the dishes, and I asked him to. Anyway, this all happened, and Hemi had been there. And about 4 months later, this person was no longer with us, and that wasn't such a bad thing. And Hemi, who has the ability, he's been with us the longest, he has the ability to sum up a complex situation in about 6 words. He had his coffee cup and he put it down and says, well, it's never going to end well if you start with disrespecting Murray. So he had it all figured out. So today we're talking about honour. Honour. Showing honour to those above, below and around you. Everyone say the word honour. Honour is a word that isn't used much in our vocabulary or in conversations. And perhaps that is a sign that that word and that concept of honour is no longer a lived principle in our modern lives. with the BK teenager and with our short-lived staff member. No, he's still alive. he didn't take him out or anything. With our short-term staff member, there was a lack of honour toward those in positions above. We've been working our way through Ephesians, and we're at Ephesians 6 if you want to start getting your Bibles ready. And like with so many scriptures, or devices if you've got them, like with so many scriptures, there's kind of an immediate theme that's there, and then generally there's bigger themes hidden behind a passage. On a surface level, what we're about to read is perhaps counterintuitive for so many people in today's world. We live in a world that promotes this concept of personal independence and being the king of your own life. And what we're about to read is quite the opposite. What we have to do is we have to glean the teachings of Scripture, the things that are being said throughout the stories, throughout the words, throughout the surface level teachings, rather than just the surface level stuff. And the subplot or the underpinning narrative of these nine verses is a thing of honor. So let's read the first nine verses of Ephesians 6. It says this: "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." A few of you parents can just elbow your kids right now. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in training and instruction in the Lord. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear, and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him." So this message, this passage covers honoring your parents, parents honoring your kids, slaves honoring their masters, and masters honoring their slaves. And a little bit of a mindset thing around about how we work as well in there. Working as slaves to righteousness or slaves to Christ. Countercultural, isn't it, to a modern thinking. It finishes with this amazing check yourself before you wreck yourself verse, and it says this: "You know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him." Awesome, eh? How solid is that? As in, the Lord Almighty sees value in every single person, and every person needs to be honored. There's that great saying that life is a game of chess, and at the end, when it's all done, the kings and the pawns all go back in the same box. When life is over, when our body's 6 feet under and our souls are elsewhere, all the social constructs of our time and of our world and society mean nothing. It's about our character and our spirit, and we need to see the value and honor every single person. We need to see the value in people and honor people. So this scripture is not endorsing paternal control. It's not about spoiling your kids with rights and then having no responsibilities. Harper is my oldest, and she's always been quite sharp. And around about the age of three, I started introducing this little saying to our family, which was, "Listen and obey straight away." And I said one day to Harper, "Listen and obey straight away." She said, "Straighter later." So we can have kids. Kids need to show a bit more honor, not straighter later, straight away. We've got this other little saying in our family. I sort of try to turn discipline strong and then have there be a bit of a positivity around it. And I've got this other little saying where I put on an accent and I say, "Hey, listen, you need to listen to your father on earth and your father in heaven." And hopefully that's just getting imprinted in their brain that they need to listen to their father on earth and their father in heaven. So this scripture is not about paternal control. It's about reverent and respectful honor within the home. The scripture's also not about endorsing slavery. Scripture speaks about things. It's not that it's endorsing it. It speaks about war. It speaks about murder. It speaks about hate and all these different things. It isn't endorsing slavery in this setting. God's people have been the ones who have brought about an end to slavery in so many places, and there's still work being done. What it is it's speaking into this context of a Jewish world under the control of the Roman Empire, where slaves were a part of everyday life in these surroundings. Of course, we don't know the context of why Paul was speaking specifically about these things to the Ephesians. Perhaps there was a big scene of masters and slaves being at angst with each other. But maybe what he's saying is that even in Ephesus, and even when there's people lording over you with the Roman Empire, and even when you don't have control, you can still have influence and honor. That you can still show honor despite what is being lorded over you. Okay, so what is human, and we need to touch on this, what is so human is that we can jump to things, okay? We can jump to that next conclusion. When we hear truth like this, we often want to personalize it, which is totally normal. We want to personalize it and say, what if I've had terrible parents, like shocking parents, or one parent, or one nan or uncle? Do I need to show honor? What if my boss or my manager is incredibly rude and incredibly incompetent? Do I need to show honor? What if my kids are throwing it back in my face? Do I need to show honor to my kids? What if my landlord hasn't come through with a promise? Do I still need to show honor? What if my so-called friend completely let me down and spoke ill of me behind my back? Do I still have to show honor? Or even heavier, what if I've suffered abuse from a parent or family member? Do I need to show honor? And those are massive questions that I can't answer this morning for you. They are valid questions, and they are reasonable questions to ask. And of course, there's a healing process, and God does work over time. But I do want to say what's awesome about Scripture is that truth is solid. Okay? It's truth over feelings. The truth of Scripture is worth pursuing over and above the feelings that let us down. The feelings of hurt, of disappointment, of all those things. And maybe you think it's a little bit simplistic, but the truth matters. You know, if you honor your parents, you'll live a long life. Is it A plus B equals C? I'm asking the same question. There's so many questions even in that statement, isn't there? It's not wishy-washy emotive language. It's solid. It says, honor people regardless of your position and regardless of your hurts. We overcomplicate it. We put it through the complicating machine, eh? And God just says, honor people regardless of the person, regardless of the hurt, regardless of the emotion. See, God's ways work, and it so often starts with us. The Bible says, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with others. Is there going to be peace in our streets? Not necessarily, but as far as it depends on you, live at peace. See, it starts with us. It says if we forgive, he can bring about a healing in us. Is it going to forgive the whole situation? Is it going to forgive the thing that happened in 1962 or 1973? Not necessarily. But it does a work in us, okay? God can bring about a forgiveness and a healing in us. See, change starts with us, with our heart and with our words. And with our mindset, things can change. If we give honor rather than be in a mental loop track of animosity towards others or to those parents or to those who have hurt us, it does a work in us. It does a change in us. And sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes the honor comes back towards us. We put the honor out there, there's no guarantees. We put the honor towards people, towards those in charge of us. There's no guarantees, but we're doing our part, aren't we? It starts with us. Here's a question for you. Can we be honest while still honoring people? I think you could read this and go, right, I've just got to be super chirpy, positive, respect everyone, treat everyone like $1 million while they treat me like trash. That could be what you say, right? The question is, can we be honest and honor people? I've had a numerous occasions in the last 5 years where I've had to walk a fine balancing act of needing, as part of my role, to be really honest with where people are at and with their shortcomings and with what they're needing to do better professionally. And sometimes I have to take that hat off and be straight up about their personal stuff that they're needing to sort out. We're all needing to sort it out, including me, but that's part of my role. And I've had to find this balancing act of doing it with honor. Honesty with honor. Trying to still honor them for what they are doing right. And spending a good chunk of time outlining the things they're doing really well to show them that their value is not attached to their performance. That you're doing the right thing for your family. You've got the right mindset. You're here. You're making good decisions. And positive reinforcement into who they are as a person, and then we can talk about what they're doing with their performance. We can be honest. I think with God's grace, we can say almost anything. We can say something honest, almost anything honest, if we say it in the right way, wrapped with honor. We can be honest with people and still honor them. And we can be honest with God and still honor him. He doesn't want your sugar-coated faith. He doesn't want your pretending, because there's no point. There's no point in pretending with him. He wants our heart, and we can be honest with him while still honoring him. It's not like we disconnect the roughness and the challenges of the things going on with the glorifying and the words we speak. It is all interconnected. We can honor him with our honesty. The title of this message, if you've picked up your little bulletins for the week, is honor versus lip service. I'm sure so many of you would have had experience in your life of having people say something and then not do it. Yes? Hands up? Yeah? Probably everyone? Yeah, the exact opposite. Yeah. And it's a really unattractive thing, isn't it? When people say something but then do something else. And we all struggle with that because we have challenges, we have time that's limited. But the scripture in Matthew 5:37 says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. This is part of what it means to honor up, around and down. Is with our words and with our actions, there has to be an alignment. If I'm being really honest, one of the biggest things that make me disconnect from people is if there's a difference between what they say and what they actually do. I struggle to support that. I struggle to respect that. I don't know if you find that as well. It's one of the biggest things for me. If people honor people in front of them and then throw them under the bus when they've walked out of the room, it is very unattractive. It doesn't bring glory to them or to the person. There is no gain. It is an unhealthy thing. Or if people honor God with their lips, but then the way they conduct themselves or treat others isn't healthy, it is incredibly hard to respect that. And that is a conviction for all of us, including me, that what we say with our words, and I surrender all, or all these words we say, it needs to be our lives, eh? Philippians 4:9 says, whatever you've learned or received from me or seen in me, put it into practice. Whatever you've learned or received from me or seen in me, put it into practice. It's not just about saying things, it's actually about doing it as well. If our lives are about blessing God and blessing others, I think we need to reestablish this concept of honor. Maybe you're just nailing this. Maybe you honor every single person. The person that's just cut you off or didn't merge like a zip, you're just honoring. Bless you. Bless you, Jesus. Bless them. Bless that little daihatsu that shouldn't be on the road, that just didn't merge like a zip. Maybe you're nailing this. Maybe you're nailing this. But I think if it's about blessing God and blessing others, we need to do better. I need to do better with honoring others. Bringing honor to God and bringing honor to others is actually completely linked. It's all linked. Scripture says, whatever you do for the least of these, you do for me. Bringing honor into our lives is actually an act of worship. It's glorifying God. When we talk about worship, the first thing that jumps to your head is music, songs, hymns. Yes, that's the kind of worship that you have. Worship is everything. The music that we've heard from these Skux people this morning is is part of worship. It is part of worship. But worship is everything. Worship is art. Worship is your words. Worship is the way you work. Worship is the way we interact. Worship is the way we merge like a zip. Worship, worship is our actions, and worship is how we treat people. For a lot of guys in the room, I'll single out, maybe you don't connect with music, you don't connect with singing, and you just mumble along quietly so the person in the row in front of you isn't missing the anointing, you know? maybe that is, you have this disconnect of you not feeling like you worship. But if you're treating people the way God sees them in your week, that is worship. That is worshiping people. It's worshiping God. Sorry, it's worshiping God. Treating people right is worshiping God. Our lives are our worship. Romans 12:1 says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, offer your lives as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." Our whole lives, holy and pleasing to God, is our spiritual act of worship. So I'm not normally a three-point sermon guy, but I just got 3 points to wrap us up this morning. I'm getting to the points, okay? Number one, thanks, Samuel, is we need to honor people with an understanding of their past and present challenges. You know that whole thing of walk a mile in someone's shoes, or to be understood first, we need to understand. I think when we get a God's lens on, when we wear our God goggles, we can see that things have gone on in people's lives, in their past and in their present, that are massive. And we can honor people despite the way they are treating us or speaking to us or whatever. We start the reset. It starts with us. I was struggling with someone who was very hard to manage and quite a strong individual. And then I got a whole new set of lenses on what's going on in this person's life. Some stuff that had gone down in this person's past and some health stuff that was being dealt with. And that gave me a massive understanding of how I was to interact with this person. These are some practical points. We need to honor people with an understanding of their past and their present challenges. And it's not seeing them as being that and having them in a perpetual state of victimhood in our mind. It's actually going, I understand that, and I will honor you and respect you in this current setting because I've built an understanding. And that's a God thing, and God gives us a grace. Point number two, honor people with a view of who they could be in Christ. I was really blessed by Easter camp. You can tell because I'm still repping the t-shirt. We went out to Easter camp about 4 weeks ago. And on the Saturday morning, the speaker hopped up. And he was awesome, man. This really good guy. So he's the pastor of Equippers Church in Tauranga. And for years he'd been the youth pastor of about five campuses or maybe four campuses in Auckland of all these different youth, running about 1,500 people through different weekly programs of youth. And he spoke and he was life-giving and solid and in the Word and a really good guy. And I was just like, yeah, that's awesome. I didn't recognize him. I did not recognize him. He comes up to me afterwards and goes, I recognize you. Do you recognize me? I said, nah, man. And I normally remember faces. And what was cool is we had, in 2006 and 7, we had this little crew of about 18 youth come from Thames, a little Thames youth group out to our Easter camp. And he said, oh, man, that camp that you ran, those speakers and all that happened, I was so touched by that. That shaped my life. And I went to Auckland and did a bit of work and part-time work while I was at university and started going to Equippers Church and decided that I wanted to go to the Bible school. Went to the Bible school. Then I've been in ministry for 13 years with Equippers. And I had to look up his name and scroll back. And I'm like, that kid, that guy. And he was this scrawny, like 15, 16-year-old who you would have just never thought of much, right? That kind of kid. And here he is, all these amazing stories of doing downtown ministry with street workers and homeless and all these life-giving, life-changing things. And I'm not putting it down to what we did as a team back then. I'm putting it down to what God did in his life we can never underestimate people, and we can never underestimate what God has in mind for people when he grabs a hold of their lives. So we need to honor people with a view of who they could be, not who they currently are. Because you can't see it in the present. I couldn't see it in the present. He is a pimply skater boy from Thames, okay? And God's doing a work, and he turns boys into men. So we need to be like that. We need to honor people with a view of who they could be in Christ. My third and final point is we need to honor people because they are created in the image of God. So we kind of need to check ourselves before we wreck ourselves, a bit like the kings and the pawns all going back into the same box after the game of chess. We need to honor people because everyone is created in the image of God. The Imago Dei, this whole concept, or bigger than a concept, this whole truth that God made us in his likeness, that from the beginning of creation, his image, his branding, his essence is etched into every life, into every bit of DNA. He's in and through all things. When I was 18, I went to the Dream Center in LA to do a mission trip, and we went downtown to downtown LA. There's 7 blocks by 7 blocks they called Skid Row, and it's home to 4,500 homeless people. Most of them are pretty whacked out on fentanyl and all these different drugs. And for a sheltered farm boy from Huntley, it was a whole new world. It was a scary place, actually, a fearful place. And yet, there was like this little thing that God said to me, everyone matters, you know. God's created everyone, and his image is in everyone. And his hope and his purposes are for everyone. And we were giving out food and offering prayer, and half of them didn't even recognize we were existing. They were that out of it. But every person is created in the image of God, and we have an opportunity to honor people with the way we live and how we treat them. It's quite cool doing 3 points, eh? Never done, or haven't done it for years. So we need to honor people with an understanding of their past and present challenges. We need to honor people with a view of who they could be in Christ. And we need to honor people because they're created in the image of God. There's so many uncontrollable factors in our lives, just in closing. We can't control stuff around our family. We can't control how people have treated us. We can't control so many of the hardships that come our way, including health stuff. But there is good news. We have the opportunity to choose our response, to choose our mindset, to choose the way we see people and treat people. The way we honor others is the way we honor God. Let's pray. Lord, we just come before you this morning. We thank you for Ephesians 6. And on the surface, there's some themes, but there's a deeper theme. There's a bigger theme. There always is. And God, you want to speak to us this morning and say that we have an opportunity to be the change, to make the start, that it starts with us, that we can honor people who have totally gone against us. We can honor the people in our lives who are getting along well with the people we have to look after, the people we have to serve under, we have to report to in a work setting or in a ministry or in an organization. God, we thank you that we have the opportunity to worship you with the way we live our lives, to worship you with the way we honor people. And God, I pray that we would have beating on our heart this week, that the way we treat people is the way we bring worship and glory to your name. We want to bless your name and bring honor to your name, Jesus. We pray a blessing over every single person in this room that they could live lives of personal honor and interpersonal honor and divine honor toward you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Huntley Baptist Church podcast. We hope that it has been an encouragement to you. Please feel free to contact us at huntleybaptist@extra.co.nz or visit us at huntleybaptist.com.